Hello and welcome to Marooned at MacBite's headquarters. Day 208. It's been one of those days. Hence snafus all over the place. But how is everybody doing? Let me know. Right, what's going on here? Good grief, there's enough chat going on. Mike's first in. Oh, Jonathan. Thank you, Jonathan. Thank you. It was indeed our birthday. MacBites won. Elaine sounds so young. Thank you, Jonathan. I won't take that the way it could be intended. Haven't changed. You noticed how Jonathan's talking himself into trouble? A lot. Oh, poor Jonathan. Oh, poor Simon. You get in as first MacBiter, Jonathan. Abuse his position. Simon, if only you knew. If only you knew the grief we had had. So Jonathan's having toad in the hole. Oh, from Grandma. Fabulous. It'll end up with infighting with Elaine if the actual crew starts competing. No, I won't. I won't, obviously. I'll stay well out of it. Hello, Kim. Is he eating a toad? It depends on how much meat's in it. You didn't think it would be a dish that's known outside the UK? Oh, frog legs. Oh, no. No, I couldn't. Not frog legs. No. Or rabbit. Rabbit doesn't appeal either.
I had rabbit once.
What, in France?
Mm.
Oh, no. Rabbits are pets. Sausages in Yorkshire pudding butter. Do you know, it does sound rather nice. I could just go with that. Looks a bit tough. Lola was very interested in a toad. Luckily, she didn't eat it.
It was a frog.
Well, frog, toad, whatever. Onion gravy. Oh, I do love onion gravy. My mum used to make amazing gravy. Oh, we like asparagus. Simon's keen on toad in the hole, though. Excellent. Not had it in ages. That's because Simon has lots of takeaways. So you get to choose and somebody else gets to cook it. Win-win, Simon. We haven't had any Simon bread in a while, Simon. We're missing it. You need to do some. Absolutely. I wonder if you could do that. Bake a toad in the hole. Why not? Why not? Right, catching up with you. So much apple love in the podcast. Oh, apple pie. My mum used to make the most amazing apple pie. I sound 15. What can I say? It was the microphone. Living with Micah's age delay. CQ Deb. Yes, we're here. We are here. Hello, Paul. Hello, Anthony. Oh, hello, Paul in Sydney. If I told you the grief we'd had getting on air at all, shall I leave you to explain?
What? That I messed up?
Big style.
Big style.
So, it's a wonder we're actually here at all. Having said that, it's yet another snafu with our provider that was the underlying problem. And that's not fixed yet, is it?
No.
Do they work weekends?
I've no idea.
Because if I get hold of them...
Don't they do it as a labour of love?
Well, I'm paying a bill, so I expect service. So there you go. Not happy. However, you've seen we do have a We're Live Right Now banner. Because if I hear one word about the live banner, what I've had to do is actually go live. So although you were listening to episode one, it was actually running live from here, which has caused all kinds of other problems. It's a good job there's an Apple event on Tuesday, because this Mac has had it. And it's complaining vehemently. What's it like when it reboots, Mike?
Screechy.
It literally screams.
Made me jump out my skin.
Poor you. I've had that for about a month. Every time I need to reboot. And the thing is, I remember having a Mac and not needing to reboot for 4 months.
Do you remember the heady days of 2006? Oh, like, it was fabulous.
It's like the Hob.
Hmm?
It's like the Hob.
What Hob?
What Hob?
In the kitchen?
Yes. Oh. The place you never go.
No. No. Well, what, why should I? It involves work, so I don't go in there. What's wrong with it?
It screeches.
Oh. What is it with the uppity tech in this house? Do you remember the iPod that screeched?
Yeah.
We had a screechy iPod. It wouldn't shut up, literally. It had been screeching non-stop for like 36 hours. I figured the battery would go in the end, but no. It was still screeching when it was returned. Oh, it was embarrassing. Didn't I carry it in a quilt? Because I couldn't bear the screeching anymore. You'd have gone deaf with it. But yes, the iMac is screeching when it reboots. And it never reboots properly. It reboots and says, your computer was shut down because of a problem. But it wasn't, because I rebooted it. But why am I rebooting it if I know that rebooting it is going to make it scream? Because it's not freeing up disk space. So I'm recording video and audio, which takes up oodles of disk space, and then I'm putting it on an external drive. But that space is never freed up from the internal drive. Add that to the fact that there was a necessity to back up the iPhone, don't ask, long story. And that took another 220 gig. No space, basically. No space. I'm moving stuff off there in a desperate attempt to free up space, which is telling me there's all kind, anywhere between 95 gig free is one of its favourite things to tell me. Which would be fine if there really was 95 gig free, but I don't know. So I'm getting, depending on where I look, so you can look in Disk Utility, you can look in the Finder. I can actually see from the ITV, which keeps a monitor of how much storage space you've got, and Pathfinder. So I've got four apps telling me four different figures. And I don't mean just a gig or two off. I mean, I've had everything today from 95 gig free to something like 600 gig free. And I have no idea which is telling me the truth. So I have to reboot. And that way, when I do reboot, I'm pretty sure that what it tells me is fairly accurate. Only this time it actually rebooted and there was even less space available. There's no point going in and actually looking, because if you do, it says cloud documents, 1 terabyte. Well, the drive's only 1 terabyte, so I know that's lying. Then there's a mobile sync folder that's saying all kinds of stuff. The top level folder is like 180 gig. And as you drill down, it's 290, which, how does that work? Yeah, so not the best time with my Mac, but there is an event coming up. So I think we're going to just need a new one, because how is the Lola Bear? I would say she's improved, wouldn't you?
I would, yeah.
Yes. She's still not 100%, but she's playing. She's eating after a little bit of a snafu last night, but that was all your fault, wasn't it?
Yes.
We thought it was about time she had something proper with the chicken. So in went some kibble, didn't like that, just wanted the chicken.
Don't mess with my food.
Yep. So she refused point blank to touch the chicken. So there was Mike, about 9:45, cooking fresh fish for her. Yeah, she didn't want that either. So there she was, being stubborn. But I could tell she was hungry. And at that stage, it was like, if she'll eat anything, I don't care what it is, including next door's dog, if need be. So I said, let's get some ice cream. And that way, at least she's had something. So we brought the bowl up with the ice cream in. And she literally, her head just jumped up, didn't it? She was desperate for whatever it was. But when she saw there was like chicken in one bowl and ice cream in the other, she wasn't interested in the chicken. So she just dropped her head down again. So I said, how about this one with some ice cream in at the lot? So at least she had something. Then she got more water. Then she slept quite well, which was good because she's not been sleeping that well. And then today she's been a little bit better. So she ate her chicken, didn't she?
She did.
Then she ate more chicken tonight. Obviously, we're keeping her off the dog food and she's very happy about that. And then she decided she wanted some fish as well. All topped off with a treat. So at least there's nothing wrong with her appetite. And she's drinking. And she's playing. So I would say she's hopefully, hopefully, fingers crossed, on the mend. What size drive am I getting on the Mac when I get one? I was contemplating a 1 terabyte again, but the way that this one's been, I'm wondering if that is such a good idea. What was the price difference? It was sort of a kidney, wasn't it, and half a liver. That's not good. Not good. I'll have a look at the price. Let's have a laugh. Let's go and have a look at the price. It's criminal what they charge for hard drives. If money was no object, I'd go for the biggest, but obviously, isn't that 8 terabytes and they're out of stock? That's a special built to order. Yeah, not just a built to order. Right, new 27-inch model. Let's have a look. Let's have a laugh with it. I love the initial price, you know, only 2,300. Yeah. Ships by the 24th. That's not great, is it? Well, we don't need the nano glossy thing for a start. We don't need any more RAM, but we do need the graphics card. Right, here's the options. So it ships with half, and you have to add £200 to get a 1 terabyte. But if you want the 2 terabyte, which incidentally I can buy from Amazon, £125, I need to pay £600 more. That is so not happening. So it's looking like a terabyte. Only because, you know, the drive will break anyway. The drive always breaks. It's disgusting. Don't get me going. It's disgusting. Right, what does that come to? £3,400. Do you know you have to pay £50 extra to get the trackpad? On top of everything else. Oh, and you can't pick it up either. It's got to ship. And I've no idea where they've got that postcode from, because that's not me. Order today, 9th of November delivery. 9th of November. A month. They're the Oompa Loompas on strike that build these things. A month. And you can't go in and buy one. Don't get me going. What does traditional doggy ice cream have? Well. Right, so it looks like a terabyte, Paul, just because of the price. If I wanted to put extra, you know, like get the 2 terabyte, I'd be tempted to run it off an external drive via USB-C. Which is not how it should be. But who knows, what they might announce, and I'm a mini next week, and I might think a mini is a good idea. And then swap the drive out. Who knows? Carbon Copy Cloner Developer has a blog post about the differences in how software determines the amount of disk space. The bit that gets me is if I reboot, it all comes back. And it wasn't doing that before. So it's always been reasonably fine. There is actually ice cream for dogs. She had the same ice cream as she had for her birthday, which is just plain vanilla. But she absolutely loved it. And what she tries to do is try and, like, take a chunk out of it. Oh, now they look gorgeous, don't they? Oh, she'd like those. She would definitely like those. In fact, I think I quite like those as well. I did not know you could give dogs strawberry and banana. Who knew these things? And do they have dog biscuits in? No, they don't. It's natural yogurt. Oh, that's just what she looks like eating it, though. But she hers is in a much bigger bowl. So she does like to try and, like, bite it and then eat, like, chew it rather than lick at it. Anyway, she managed that with 2 big chunks, so she was quite happy. There's another one. I didn't know they could have peanut butter. Oh, I'm going to keep that. Might tempt me into the kitchen to make some of that. We do have a bowl that's very similar to that. Little ramekin dish. Oh, yes, I'm going to keep that. We'll find out. They could be humans. Panda time. Oh, panda time. I have to share this. We've got half a story about the kidnap thing in the States. The plot to kidnap somebody or other. Obviously, we don't know these people that well, and we get it third hand, etc. So it's garbage, really, what we get. But I got the gist of it. And they were talking on the BBC to a journalist from America. Don't know if you know him. The name was Quinn Kleinfelter. Is this a famous journalist? I don't know. But I took a screenshot to share it with you guys. I absolutely had to take this screenshot because they were billing this guy as, you know, big journalist in the States. And I just couldn't focus on him at all or what he was saying. Didn't have the sound on. But I was focusing on what was behind him. And I thought, it's really bothering even professional journalists. Just look what's on the wall behind him. And I thought, it's not just us then, although we do tend to YouTube it. You don't know the name. I think he was from the vicinity. Was it Minnesota? But either way, it's a journalist. And he was talking about that story. And then when I spotted what was behind him, I was just rolling on the floor. So it's not just us who are getting rather sick of the news. Even the journalists are adorning their walls with pandas. I thought that was absolutely brilliant. I have no idea who he was, but, you know, being billed as a professional journalist, if it had been somebody from the internet, fair enough. But they definitely said, journalist, Michigan. Okay, it was Michigan. Oh, I should have remembered that one. I know somebody there, or somebody who hails from there. You know, the dark circles, probably family photos. Let's have a look. Hadn't noticed that. He does look pained, doesn't he, as though he's sitting on a cactus. But I can't honestly tell you what part of the story he was up to. I have no idea. None whatsoever. But I just glanced around and it said journalist. And I then glanced away. But when I glanced back, he actually told you what the story was. And I'm like, oh, the panda. So I had to wind it back to get his name because I thought there's no way I'm going to remember that name. But yes, so I thought I shall keep that posterity, not just us. Pandas are the answer to the world's problems. You know the name, but you wouldn't consider him famous. No, you see, the only one I would know, seriously now, is Walter Cronkite. Other than, and Nick Clooney. Those are the only two journalists I could possibly name from the States. But, you know, at least Walter Cronkite got it right, didn't he? He had the gravitas for stories. And Nick Clooney, I knew of him because obviously of George Clooney. But one of the videos that YouTube suggested to me was about that Beverly Hills fire, the Supper Club fire. And someone had got the original. It was from a year after the event. And they'd got this. It was basically 5 days of the story. And there was another journalist doing the bit. But Nick Clooney was introducing the programme. So he was obviously an anchor for the programme. Now, that would have been in Kentucky, wouldn't it? And I'd never actually seen him on the news. But as I glanced, I thought, that is the spit image of George Clooney. And he's a journalist. I wonder if that's Nick Clooney. When up at the bottom popped, Nick Clooney. So they're the only two I would know. Ooh, what's this one? Need to get that. That looks great fun, Kim. Let me get that link. Maybe he was the only one the BBC could get hold of, which, given the time it was, could well have been. But anyway, they're resorting to the same as we are. Fooling around in the snow. Oh, look at him. Yeah, this is the answer to the world's problems. Being force-fed pandas. Can't they shift when they want to as well? They look like slow, lumbering creatures, but they can get a wiggle on. Oh, Mayo was like that in his first snow. When he came in, there was no snow. And we said, oh, it's snowing. So we left it long enough that the entire ground was covered. And it was probably maybe an inch or two. Well, when we opened the back door, he like took a step and stopped and looked as though, what happened? What have you done with my garden?
She hasn't seen snow, has she?
No, she hasn't.
Not with us, anyway.
No, we haven't had any snow for years, have we? I don't think she would have seen snow. So we'll have to rectify that. But Mayo was just adorable with it. Didn't we put that? Didn't we put the video
another one? Look at this one.
Which is this one? Oh, what is it with pandas and climbing? Mind you, he's just ripped the head off that snowman. So that's exactly what Maya would have done. I'm just thinking, Maya's first snow, didn't we put it on YouTube?
I can't remember.
Let's try Maya and snow.
That's the same link that Kim posted. Maybe it's the same video.
Apparently there's a Maya snowplow, which was pretty much how he went. But no, it doesn't look like there was. There's two of me on YouTube. There's the original me. It's a long story. Let's try me and snow. Maya's first snow. There you go. Look at his little face. This is my other channel. I didn't know I had two subscribers on it. This is my Not Me channel. Yeah, this was the one where we let him out. Actually, it's more than 2 inches. It's probably about 4. And you can see his little handle on it as well. That was to grab hold of him and bring him back in. Look at his face. What have they done with my shed? Where's my sandpit? Which is the blue thing underneath. Wasn't he majestic? Filthy, but majestic. Oh, and there's you throwing his toy. Is that his TIG toy? And there's you in your Wellingtons. Oh, he loved that. That really was his first snow. So he must have been 9 then. Oh, look at his face. Oh, I miss you, my boy. You're amazing. Do you actually get to see you, Mike? I was quite close to the dog, but he was watching you. Oh, he was amazing. He really was an amazing dog. Oh, if it didn't move, dig it.
No, just see my feet.
We're just getting your feet, aren't we? Yeah. You do look like a ninja, though. And have you seen the one at the back with the bins, where there's literally 4 inches of snow on the top of it? And look at him eating it. Crying out loud, Maya. And you're trying to throw snow at him to get him to move, but he's not having it. He's just eating it. Oh, dear, dear, dear me. I don't think I've seen this in years. There you go. 1:37 of the most amazing doggy. Yes, I knew I'd put that up. And even though there's two of me, that's my other channel. I wonder who the subscribers are. Probably one's you. I don't know about anybody else. It was all a fiasco with the YouTube channels. I posted my first video. That one looks like it was the first video, to be honest. 5th of January 2010. I thought the first video I posted was the iPhone 4, but that would have been June 2010. That's interesting. Anyway, it was because it said enter your Gmail address, so I did. And my Gmail address was not my business address. So when I needed a YouTube channel, which was 2011, it was like, oh dear. You couldn't swap. If you'd used another email address, you could swap email addresses. But if the email address was a Gmail address, you couldn't. So think Apple and Apple IDs or not. Watch the pandas, Kim. I know it gets you. It gets me as well. So because of that, I ended up with another channel. So I needed a different name for the second channel. So after much pondering, I thought I'll put a the in front of Elaine Giles. So it's the Elaine Giles. Good couple of years later, they started evaluating YouTube channels. So picture the scene. There's two people called Elaine Giles with channels. One who's getting lots of views for tutorials and the other who's put up a video of Maya and isn't getting that many views at all. And they offered me the username Elaine Giles on my second one. And I thought, but for the fact that I am actually Elaine Giles on the first one, I'd be really peeved that they're evaluating these names and then reallocating them, which is how come I am actually both. And then they both direct to me, and my other channel, which I don't put anything on, has kind of just fallen away. It's amazing, isn't it? I wouldn't have known that if the first channel wasn't actually owned by me. I do know you so well. Watch the pandas. I have actually thought Kim's going to like this. Don't get giddy. I can't confirm it. But you know that debacle at the last event when they announced all the services and they wanted you to take the bundle? Well, if you think about it laterally, let's say we've got this user, the imaginary user called Fred. And Fred has all of the services, so extra iCloud space, apps, all the services, but not on the same Apple ID, then he's going to have a problem. So the person in charge of this whole epic debacle was asked the question, what if multiple services want to consolidate them, but different Apple IDs? And as I'm reading it, I'm thinking, straight out of luck. And she said, we've sorted it. And it's like, pardon? Anyway, she wouldn't give any details because obviously it's not rolling out just yet. But there were two options. Either the ability to link the accounts, which would be the minimum you would need to do for this new system they're rolling out to actually work. So that looks like that's a definite. Which could give you the opportunity to log in with one account and it automatically log you in with the other, which would be better than it is now. But the second option, and she didn't say no when pushed on it, but wouldn't say yes either, was to actually be able at last to merge Apple IDs. And apparently she neither confirmed nor denied that, but just sat there looking enigmatic. So take from that what you will. At a minimum, there must be a way to link the accounts, because if you can't, then these bundles won't work. Simple as. So that could be good news, but it's certainly not official yet. But at least they are aware of the issue. Now it's affecting their bottom line. Oh, they might actually do something about it. There you go. Heard it first here. Not quite. I can't remember where I read that. It was an interview with the head of something or other. You know how many department heads Apple have got. Well, she was the one that was in charge of this bundle business. And most people were kicking it off over the fact that they didn't want certain services. But this was an extra question to the side of, well, I want X and I want Y, but they're on separate IDs at the moment. Now, whether what they'll do is kind of an amnesty and let you transfer stuff from one to another. So say, for instance, you've got an Apple ID where you've bought apps, and then there is another Apple ID that's your preferred Apple ID. At a minimum, they could let you transfer stuff, which would be a start, wouldn't it? But if you just let us merge them, then we'll be happy. There you go. Oh, so Tracy's not sure if she wants to link her Apple IDs. One per country.
I presume you mean Spain and UK, not every country, Tracy.
If she wants one per country, you have one per country. I honestly don't know what they do with that. I mean, why they have different rules geographically, I don't know. And different geographic stores. I know there are different rules. I mean, obviously. I put the mass up from the church, and every week I get a copyright claim, and it can't be viewed in certain countries. But as long as those countries aren't America, Spain or the UK, he's quite happy. That's because he's a fluent Spanish speaker. He lived in Peru for 10 years. So he wants all his friends in Peru and Spain to be able to watch it, and America, which is where he'd live left alone. So as long as they can see it, he doesn't care. But there are definitely different geographic rules. So I don't think it's compulsory. Watching Maya howling at my headquarters.
Yes, Kim's now gone on to the recommended for you after watching the snow one.
Yes, that was when he had his howling fest, that one. She doesn't do that. Lola does not howl. But Maya, some of the classics. He was very ill once and he'd just come out of the vets, and we took him for a ride because he loved driving around. And we went to the supermarket. We just pulled into the car park. This ambulance starts careering up. You should have heard him. We had to leave the car park in the end. I think they thought we were murdering him. Oh, he's so cute. Right, so Paul says that would be great. The dev account has a great email address, and most of my app purchases use the .me for other stuff. I was very lucky that I didn't end up in the mess that Mike's in and everybody else is in, because I had not even heard of .Mac when I created an Apple ID to use iTunes. And I did that the week before I got my Mac, the week that I actually bought my first Mac. And it was like, well, let me try iTunes because I'm going to have to use iTunes. So it's a create an account. And I did. And it was only months later that I got .mac, and obviously that then gave you a .mac address, but I never bought apps on that account. But Mike did, thinking that was his Apple ID, because he'd already, I think you got your .mac before you did the iTunes thing.
I think I did.
So it, for him, it happened completely the other way around. It was a total accident. If they're going to, that's why I'm quite slow now to take up stuff. I'm like, well, which account do I want this on? Because doubtless you won't be able to change it. This is what gets me at the moment. There's, we've moved on 14 years since we bought a Mac. Over 14 years, nearly 15 years. And I look at it and I think, in some respects, things are going backwards. There's a big section tonight on After Hours about things going backwards. I won't tell you which one, but it's not good. It's not good. And I'm looking at things and I'm thinking, you know, the things that software could do, and the two apps I'm front of mind at the moment, one was released in 2008 and it had more features than it's got today. And the other was in 2012 and it's got more features than it's got today. It's as if there's this thing of like, let's simplify, simplify, simplify. And it was based on that thing you talk about, the Pareto charts, the 80-20 principle. Yeah. That 80% of users are only using 20% of the features. But my argument against that is that's absolutely fine, but not necessarily the same 20%. So you need at least 80% of the features to please 80% of the people. But they don't seem to care about that. They work out the easiest 20% to roll out, and that's the 20% you're getting. And it's infuriating. Totally infuriating. But it's become the norm. That's what companies tend to do. And when it's like, there's a new version of X out, I'm like, ooh. And then I think, no, rein it in. Because a new version used to mean all the features you already had and some shiny new ones, together with some bug fixes. But if you think about what Apple do on a regular basis, Final Cut, rip the guts out of it. iWork, rip the guts out of it. And they've not put those features back. It's not got, they've added other features like the ability to present in a window and stuff. If you're going to do that, not with a title bar, just saying. But they've not actually put back the original features yet. Will they ever? I have no idea. What's this? I think I just heard Satan.
Simon said some weird voice on the stream.
I have no idea. That I'm taking you me. Hmm. Right. Matt Bites gets in yard. Oh, yes. A naughty overpowered radio ham. Yes, it could be. Not my dad. We wouldn't let him be buried with his equipment. Definitely not. Is it coming from the basement, Simon? It's not Mrs. Simon, is it? Calling you to do work. Could be. No, that wasn't me. That wasn't me. And I don't think I've got anything else running on here that could possibly be causing trouble. Although, as I've said, it's a bit of a hack tonight to get it to work at all. But it's working.
I'm listening to it and I heard nothing.
Tomorrow's going to prove very interesting. Very interesting. Oh, Tracy, that's spot on. I'd forgotten about that one, but that annoyed me as well. GarageBand was what we used initially. So the very first episodes of Mac Bites were produced in GarageBand. In fact, there was a podcast before Mac Bites. GarageBand had this cutoff for a start. You could only record 45 minutes. Who knew? Till it actually stopped working. But they did. Their GarageBand was billed as like the first dedicated podcast creator. And they then took out lots of stuff. But the ability to put chapter markers in was one that I used to edit in. So after I left GarageBand, I would produce the show in the new app, whichever one that was. There was Logic Pro, there was Soundtrack Pro. But I would take the file and I would put it into GarageBand for putting the chapter markers in. And then it just disappeared. So I had to do that a horrible manual way with Fission from Rogue Amoeba. But Tracy, you are spot on. why have this app that's an audio editor that's got the features in and then take them out? Add more, but why would you take out what's there? And Apple seem to do that more than most, but they're certainly not alone now. And whether these other companies are following Apple's lead, because it does make sense from their development perspective to simplify. But it doesn't make sense from a user's perspective if, and the odds are, come on, at 20% to 80%, 4-1, that whatever the feature is you're looking for, it's gone. There is much more chance it's not there than a chance that it is. It's so annoying. Simon's still finding noises. Poor Simon. Lucid chart. Ooh, let's have a look at that. In fact, it's the quiet before the storm at the moment, isn't it? It's the 9th of October. We know we're going to see Biggles at some point. There'll be a new Snagit at some point. And there's other apps that are kind of due an update. And from the middle of October is when I would expect to see it. I'm actually at the moment in the middle of a beta program that I'm rather excited about. Can't say any more than that. And there hasn't been an update to this beta in like a month. And I'm thinking they're working on the Gold Master, aren't they? They are. And that would be one that I would demonstrate. Not to upset Simon any further, but it's one of the expensive ones. And I've already put a bug report in. So looks like I'll be getting a free one. The voice is coming from inside the house. Oh, dear. Didn't you used to be able to stick a video on the top and edit the audio in GarageBand? I believe you could, because it was based, the design of it was based on Soundtrack Pro. Soundtrack Pro was the audio editor that shipped with Final Cut Pro Studio. So at the moment, Final Cut is Final Cut Pro. But back in the day, it was Final Cut Pro Studio. It used to ship with 28 pounds in weight of manuals. I know this because I weighed them. The bookshelf was bellying, and I thought, how much do they weigh? I remember staggering back home with that from the Apple store. Huge box, absolutely stuffed with manuals. And that was made for you to manipulate the soundtrack of your audio. So GarageBand came from that. So yes, absolutely, and now it's gone. Not only that, but they took away some of the settings as well. So the audio sounded quite strange. So just not good overall. And you can't, that's why I can't rely on anything that Apple put out. I've seen so many people this week, and I think half of last week, recommending a Notes app. And the app in question was Apple Notes. And I just sit there with my head in my hands thinking, really? It's quick on the iPad. You can just tap the screen with the pencil. I get that. But whenever you draw something, it's not vector, so it doesn't scale. In terms of being able to export to other things, virtually non-existent. No tagging. And yet people have got like 2,500 notes in there. And I'm thinking, what happens if you want to move somewhere? What happens if Apple just decide, do you know what, we've had enough of that and bin it? Because it wouldn't be unheard of, would it? Now, having said that, nowhere's any better. But normally, with an app, there is some kind of takeout option. Google actually call theirs the Google Takeout. And you go to this page and you take your data out of Google. Evernote had that with an Enex export. In fact, they had more than one export. Some don't play nicely. So OneNote, not the best when it comes to export. But it will import. And it will import Enex files. But I always think when I'm testing something, what's the way that I can import a lot of items and what kind of backup is there? And in OneNote, I had to make the decision that I'd need to crank up a VM to run the Windows version of OneNote to make a backup, which obviously not ideal. But it was either that or there was no backup. So not great. My mind. Oh, that's cool. Right, I'll have a look at that. I'll get that. Hungry for biscuits. What are they called? Party rings. Are those the ones with the icing on top?
Yeah.
Oh, my mum used to buy those. Yes. And they were all different colours, weren't they? There was yellow with chocolate on. I wouldn't have known they were called party rings, though. But now it's reminded me of Jammy Dodgers. Definitely need those. Oh, and the little ones, the ice gems. Did you ever have those, Simon? Oh, I used to eat the icing off the top and leave the biscuit. Dad would eat the biscuits. Oh, an 80s childhood. That's definitely what I need. Three whole notes in iNotes. You're just pacing yourself, Deb. That's all. You're just pacing yourself. Anthony's not used it for anything other than jotting down a phone number or reference numbers. That's how I think of it. I don't think of it as industry standard. Come, I'll put 10,000 notes in it. It doesn't feel like that to me. But if it's working for people, great. The only organisation you've got, though, there's no tags. So your organisation is to either search for something or use the groups. And there are groups but or folders, whatever you want to call them. But I don't think you can nest them. And for me, I would be thinking, well, OK, there's a search. But that search becomes less useful the more notes you've got in it, because by definition, the more notes it would return, the less precise you can be, unless it's got a search language. Now, Evernote had the most amazing search language, and I believe it's still supported, but there's no help to actually construct a query in the right syntax now. So they just want you to search by like one tag or something. It's pretty poor. That's what I'm saying. Things used to be more powerful than they are now. And I can only assume over the last 10 to 15 years, you've got more muggles using technology, which was driven by the phone and the iPad. And they want things simpler. But they're forgetting the users who've been using this for years and years. And I won't say I want it more complicated. I want it more powerful. And I don't believe that simplicity and power are mutually exclusive. But you would probably have to think harder about how to make something that's more powerful easier to use than you would than just, do you know what? We'll rip it out and we'll make it really basic. And that's what they seem to be doing, which annoys me. Midget gems. Oh, I used to love midget gems. What was the other thing? Not jelly babies. What was the ones I used to get when I worked at that lawyer's?
Jelly beans?
No, they looked like little people, but they were much fruitier and they weren't covered in like icing sugar. Basically like jelly people, but I can't remember what they were called, but they were nice. Oh! Remember when we had about 4 days just talking about chocolate? I think we covered all of them, didn't we? No, they weren't jelly tots. They actually looked like jelly babies, but instead of being like babies, chunky, they were skinnier than that. They were much smaller, but it was a full jelly person. I can't remember who made them, but they were really fruity. They were nice. And you could get them from a shop like 3 or 4 doors up from where I was working. And every afternoon, the junior would come round and say, I'm heading off to the shop for supplies. Do you want anything? And he's like, oh, no, yes. Get me a quarter of those jelly people. And she'd come back and she'd be doling out what everybody had ordered. Oh, fabulous. Let's have a look at this. My mind. The baby mind mapping. Crypto bees. That's a good name. That is a good name. Crypto bees. Let's have a look. It doesn't look that different to my node, does it? Which there were issues with, but now it's okay. Ooh, that looks nice. Why do you keep doing that? There is a map there that looks like the tube map. In fact, it's the Milan Metro. That's nice. So can you make those kind of diagrams? That'd be cool. That would be cool. Oh, yes, I need to have a look at that. I've got MindNode. it did go. Is it subscription? I think it's subscription MindNode. Don't quote me. I'm on their beta program, which is totally free. Sorry, Simon. Is it subscription? I know it's on setup. I've got something tonight that's on setup. Where's Jonathan when you need him? Right, let's have a look. MindNode. So is that other one free? Is my mind free? On the App Store. Maybe it... let's have a look. Free offers in-app purchases. Not good. That means subscription, doesn't it? Yearly subscription, $19.99. So yes, it's subscription, which is probably just going to push people towards setup. It's a lovely app, MindNode, but I find I tend to gravitate towards the same styles, so all the maps look the same. So what about this other one then, this MyMind? Is that Store? Let's have a look what it's got to say. Let's try macOS. Free offers in-app purchases. Let's open up the App Store and have a look what it's got to say for its little self. Right, in-app purchases. Full version, $9.99. Think with these in-app purchases that they mention, they don't force them to say whether that is a subscription or a flat-out fee. Which annoys me. I've found one app, was it PDF Expert for iOS? And it had a list on it of in-app purchases. There was at least 12 of them. And you could not make out from the titles what any of them were. And there were different prices, like $36.99, $49.99, $1.99. And it didn't say what you actually got for it. Even in the app, it didn't tell you, which is totally ridiculous. I'm noticing how many are going to an in-app purchase as well, because they feel the need to be included in the family sharing. But with family sharing, you can't share an in-app purchase. So although it says we support family sharing, that it might. But the in-app purchase is totally separate from that. So if you had a family, it said you can share with up to 6 members. You could share the actual app, but all 6 of them would need the in-app purchase. So annoying. iThoughts is, and I do have iThoughts, and I did use it, and it's hard. In terms of features, there's not much between MindNode and iThoughts. I think it's just MindNode feels like I want to use it, and iThoughts, just the look of it, the interface maybe, I less want to use it, if you understand me. But in terms of actually doing the job, gets the job done. You've got MindNode 7 as a long-term customer, got it for free. That could be why I've got it. But when I look at the subscription model, it says beta tester free. So I don't know how long that will go. You love iThoughts. Again, it is what you get used to as well, isn't it? What you get used to. I do use mind mapping when I'm like, I'm overwhelmed. I've got all this stuff and I need to lay it out in a visual way that I can see it. Today, I actually drew one on paper. And I realised it wouldn't really have mind mapped that well. So I'm thinking, as I'm looking at this piece of paper, what it was screaming out for was scalpel. And I remember saying we'd look at scalpel, and I can't remember if we ever did it. It's from Literature and Latte that make Scrivener. But they've never really... pushed scalpel to that degree. I think it could do a lot more than it actually does. I've just realised as I've run it. This is bizarre. It says it's activated but unlicensed. I don't know how I could actually do that then, really. I go to the license to activate it and it says it's already activated, but I apparently need to buy it. So let's go in and try the trial and see if that works at all. Crying out loud. Software will be the death of me. The difference with scalpel is, as opposed to a mind manager, it's not as visual, it's text-based. Oh, I think I briefly showed one that I did, which was Pixelmator Pro. And it was just what I needed to be able to link concepts, but not have it as a mind map. It was text-based links I wanted. Scapel is fantastic for that. I don't use it as much as maybe I could. I don't know. It's one of those apps that I think it would be really nice if this got an update. Just so I thought it was going to be there tomorrow. Has anybody else tried it? A personal manual wiki for useless at accounting and maths in general. I think it's a good idea to map processes, even if it's just a text-based thing. Because you can easily forget one part of it, like pressing record or something like that. So, yeah, I absolutely do that. Mine tends to be in Notion as a series of steps of something to do, like a checklist. Kim likes my note, don't want to pay for subscription. Seems to be a one. This, my mind that I'm looking at, it could well be a one-time purchase. It doesn't say it's a subscription. Let's have a look at the pickies. The lines are really nice. It looks quite organic, doesn't it, the way the lines work. Some of them look a bit inflexible with that. There's also an outline view there. And lots of formatting options. So, yeah, I will definitely have a go with that. It's hand. In fact, when you look at the last picture, no, not the last one. Hang on, back up. The Game of Thrones one. That looks very like MindNode. Because I did one in MindNode about the popes. Don't ask. It was for the church site. And I was mapping out Vatican II. And I put in these bits about the popes and then put those to one side. And it looks very like that. The picture after that, where they're all separate bubbles, is really nice as well. And that Milan Metro one, I love that. Oh, yes, I'm liking that. I think you could do something like that with features of an app. So I'm definitely going to have to try it. What have you done to me? Now I've got to go and try an app.
Oh, they're getting you back.
Oh, and I'm liking that last one. That does look like Scapel. It looks like a timeline that folds out from the bottom. Yes, you could be about to cost me money, but, you know, never mind. Some of those are so complicated. Wow. I guess they make sense if you actually drew them. Yes, yeah, some look very like Scapel. So it looks like a hybrid between a mind mapping application and Scapel. Right, is this still... It's still saying buy now, but what I don't get is if I go... Oh, now it's letting me put the license in. Whoopie-doo. Right, let's get the license in. And let's get the license code in. Oh, I had to reboot, didn't I? Which means I've got to put my password in. Which means I could be here all day. I think it's about 80 characters. Right. Do you know, if I forget it, I am so done. Looks like I've got two licenses for it as well. When was that bought? Because it hasn't been updated since 2013. There've been odd updates, but that, you know, we haven't had like a version 2. So it's been out 7 years and we haven't had a version 2, which would be nice, but never mind. Right, let's activate that license. It was successful. Awesome. Now I just need to find one of the maps that I had and then test that. Yeah, I'll transfer this thing that I hand drew and see if it works in Scapel, and then I'll try it in that My Mind. I'll put a note on the thing to try it. There you go. You are so bad tempting me. And then we'll do a comparison between the two. There you go. Can't say fairer than that. Ooh, how tempting. Have I got anything to tempt you guys with tonight? Let me have a think. I might do. I might have. I don't think it's paid for, though. Let's have a look. Let's have a look at the running order. Oh, and I've got some funnies as well that weren't funny at the time. Hopefully they'll be funnier in the telling than they were in the experiencing. But it's been that kind of week. Updates, lots of updates. Something new that is coming that you may very well want, but there is a free alternative. Something you've probably already got, but there's a new version of it. Maybe Trello, although I don't pay for Trello. But you might want to pay for Trello. It's going to depend. We're going to see what it could do in relation to Kim's genealogy issues. What were you using it for, genealogy-wise? Was it tracking research that needed to be done, or were you actually putting people on cards and things? Let me know. Then there was a workflow that broke. Don't like that. What were the freebies? Oh, yes, two rather nice freebies, which I almost got a demo out of. And then you're tracking meeting attendance, aren't you?
I am. Part one.
Oh, part one.
Part one.
And then we're looking at text. Oh, that might cost money. Lots of options when it comes to text. But I did narrow them down to 7, which was I did quite well with, because there was actually a whole lot more than that I could have done. And I think that's it. So nothing that's going to prove hideously expensive right at this second. But you never know. My mind does say it's a family share and you could share it, but you can't share the in-app purchases. I don't pay for what? Simon's just caught up. Mind node, Simon. When I go into the account bit, where the subscription section, and it says subscription, it says type of subscription and it says beta tester, which is free. And it's been saying that for ages, so I've just left it alone. I guess I could pay, I don't know. I left it alone. See, Anthony's with me. He prefers MindNode as well. But Anthony got it for free because he paid for it in the past, which I have. Although mine actually says beta tester. So we'll find out, won't we? Paul's got Scalpel. Love it, but don't use it much. That's the problem. I've got a feeling, Paul, the more you use it, the more you would use it. Because it doesn't make sense to have an app that's so text-based and then be moving your mouse to put another block of text. So what I'd need to do with it is really get down deep with the shortcuts so I didn't have to take my hand off the keyboard to be able to navigate the whole thing and add extra content. And if I could do that, I would probably use it more. When I have used it, it's been when my initial thought has been, this would be terrible as a text-based outline, too detailed. I want it to be more visual. At which point I think, a mind map. And 9 times out of 10, it would end up as a mind map. And the only time I've gone to Scalpel is when I want kind of a mind map, maybe at the top, but then at the bottom, I want things grouped into like a mini list, as it was for the Pixelmator Pro one. And that was the one that I showed you. So you used to use Clarify and Evernote for... Oh, Clarify and Evernote together. Absolutely genius. And now, well, Clarify is still there hanging on just about. There is a 64-bit version. Evernote, it's a sad sorry tale. More on that tonight.
Is Johnny still there?
I think Jonathan's gone off to talk to the parents.
Yeah, I know what he's just done.
What's he just done?
Logged in first on YouTube.
Jonathan! You bad boy!
And Kim's just logged in second.
And I'm an hour out.
Johnny's still there.
Have you noticed we've got 2 Jonathans then? He's finally managed it. He's cloned himself. This bodes well for next week, Jonathan. You can clone yourself at work. Leave the silent one at work and come and talk to us during the event. That's the plan. So journaling and genealogy for findings. Ooh, that's a good use. I'll start off with the basics of what it is and how to use it. And then I will lift the curtain. Oh, I'm going to lift the curtain on how we used to use it to put the show together. And it's so funny. It's like fossils. Not even a joke. It's like fossils. If I go back, you've used a service before, so Google Notebook, it died. Google Wave, it died. Etherpad, it died. I can't go back and actually look at what they looked like at the time. But I can do if the service is still there. So Trello, Asana, Zenkit, Podio. All of those services are still there, and they're like a snapshot of a point in time of how we did the show back then. And the Trello one is still there, and I think it was around the 100. Enjoy visiting the house. Can't wait to see it. Everyone's trying to get podium positions for After Hours. What are you lot like?
All, I'd only gone in to enable the chat. It's a good job I did.
They're all sat there waiting.
Because it only saves the chat after I've logged in and enabled it.
Oh dear, we can't have that missing. Right, well, we better head off, haven't we? Seeing as though you're already gathering your positions. We will indeed head off, but we will be back with you with After Hours very shortly. But for the moment, it is good night from me.
And good night from me.
And we'll both see you next time. Stay safe, guys.